For your ease only versus Calgon, Mr. McDonald.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. In this case, For Your Ease Only obtained a judgment of over $2 million against Mark Schneider and a company he wholly owned called Product Concepts Company. While the case was pending, Mr. Schneider moved to Costa Rica and transferred the assets out of PCC, which he wholly owned, leaving no assets in the U.S. to satisfy this judgment. In its ruling on For Your Ease Only's efforts to collect on that judgment that's at issue today, the district court found, and it's not disputed.
What is HSN's interest?
They are buying these jewelry organizers that give rise to the profits that originally Mr. Schneider and Product Concepts Company are making. They sell those, they make money on them, they pay Mr. Schneider, he makes money on them.
So Mr. Schneider delivered a citation to discover assets on HSN so that they would pay this money over?
Yes. It was a petition as well to freeze the assets that they may have of the judgment debtors or their successors, served in April of 2007, specifically identifying SevenQuest, not just Mr. Schneider and PCC, but SevenQuest and Anuco, this new company, as possible successors in interest that may hold money that was owed to For Your Ease Only.
I understand. How is HSN involved? The other defendants aren't here.
Right. HSN.
What are you trying to get from HSN?
Well, they had $382,000 when we served that petition on them back
receipts,
in April.
Basically, from the sale of the boxes.
Yes, that's right. They made money selling these jewelry organizers. They owed money to Mr. Schneider's. What we're saying is Mr. Schneider's successor company through this asset transfer for those jewelry organizers. They owed $382,000.
And so I have a question. Did anybody ever suggest HSN gets the, maybe I should ask HSN this, but they get this citation to discover assets. They see the allegation that they're handling the goods of Mr. Schneider's successor and interest, however many layers we go down. They, of course, don't want to pay over and over again the same debt. Does anybody ever suggest that they pay into a court escrow account or anything?
That was actually in our petition amongst our requested relief. That was one of the options. We said put it in the court and then let the court decide.
So HSN could whether it goes to Mr. Fournier or Anuco.
That's right. And Mr. Fournier, Mr. Anuco, they couldn't complain about that. HSN says, I'm not claiming this money. I understand it's not mine. You all resolve your issues. That was expressly stated in that petition in April of 2007 before they went ahead and gave Anuco the $382,000 anyway. So they had that chance to take themselves out of the risk here. But they chose to take the risk and pay Anuco. I guess now they have a right perhaps to go back to Anuco and say if this court does reverse and they have to pay us that $382,000 again, they could perhaps go back to Anuco now. They still have some recourse, but they had a choice of
they
maybe a safer recourse.
They did have the chance to protect themselves.
That's so right, and they opted not to do that.
Is there some additional money that HSN has or owes, I guess, for these jewelry boxes that they haven't paid yet?
At the time we saw this petition, we thought this would be an ongoing business and there would be more money. At this point, it looks like that's not going on anymore. We're really not sure, so we wouldn't like to leave that door open on the remand to at least find out supplementally, has there been any further proceeds from Mr. Schneider's asset here? At this point, we're not aware of it.
Well, these jewelry boxes aren't as popular as they used to be.
Well, or Mr. Schneider's business isn't as popular as it used to be. And the baggage that comes with that, you might say. So the core issue here is really with that transfer. The district court found, it's undisputed, that lucrative HSN business, millions of dollars in revenues, went from one of the debtors, PCC, to a new company Mr. Schneider formed called SevenQuest. This was back in around the 2004-2005 time.
Was that a Florida? Where was SevenQuest?
Yes, they're also in the Orlando area. Actually, they both had the same CPA. They both had the same address between these various companies of Mr. Schneider's. And so SevenQuest gets the business while our claims are pending in late 2004, early 2005. So the business, it was going on between PCC and HSN. Then it goes on between SevenQuest and HSN.
Let me ask you a notice question. You know, you give you're going after HSN. HSN has a contract, I guess, at that point with Anuco. That's who they pay. So presumably they have a contract. How do they know about this elaborate relation between Anuco and ultimately Mr. Schneider?
Okay, I'll answer that question, but before I do, I'd like to make one point. And that is, really, HSN's knowledge isn't the relevant thing here. For the second transfer, it's the knowledge of the second transferee, which would be Anuco. But I'll answer your question now. That January 11, 2007 letter was written by Mr. Schneider directly to HSN. That's the only written documentation there is of this transfer of the business between SevenQuest and this Anuco that the debtor's brother-in-law formed.
So it's your position that all Anuco has to know, they have to know about the debt, the judgment debt, basically, and they have to take in knowledge of that?
There's not notice that there's a possible claim against that asset and a possible, you know, based on fraudulent transfer or whatever. And I think here, the facts, they got subpoenaed. They knew that Mr. Schneider wasn't paying the debts on that June 2006 judgment. They knew we were looking for the assets. They knew Mr. Schneider owned and controlled SevenQuest, and that's why he flew to Costa Rica. And I think the most telling thing is he flies down there. He says, I don't want the SevenQuest business. Don't give me that company. I don't want it because I know it's got legal problems because of 4 years only. Just give me the good parts. Just give me the asset, the flow of money coming in from HSN. I'm going to set up a new company. And by the way, when the district court talked about that oral agreement, there was nothing in that oral agreement about forming a new company. It was supposed to be, here are the keys to the door to SevenQuest, Doug, brother-in-law. Go ahead and take the business from here. He said, no thanks. Let's change that oral agreement around it. You can just assume I'm saying purported oral agreement in there. But even taking that in the light favorable to the other folks, he didn't want that oral agreement. They changed the deal after he got notice of the claims against the assets. They expedited it. All of a sudden, it's not just whenever Mr. Schneider was ready to do it, because he testified, it's in the appendix at A35 to 36, that, well, this agreement was really something that neither one of us were committed to. We could either of us could walk away any time. Well, he got on that plane and flew to Costa Rica as soon as he saw these legal problems and said, let's do it right now. So, you know, from the timing of it, that wasn't what the oral agreement was, and what they did isn't what the oral agreement was either. It's give me the good parts. I don't want the trouble. He knew there was trouble. That's why he did what he did. And so that's why Anuco, wholly owned, controlled by Mr. Fournier, the brother-in-law, is not a good faith transferee. And that's the critical issue here. I think the error, of course, in the district court is not finding that, but what they actually did between the oral statements of the judge and the written order is he seemed to be focused on whether Anuco maintained an existing or a current ongoing business or a relationship with the original judgment debtors. Well, that might be of some relevance in a fraudulent transfer situation, but it doesn't have any relevance once you've already found a fraudulent transfer, and now the only issue is whether there's a good faith transferee. I mean, the good faith transferee knowledge is the issue of the transferee. It's got nothing to do with it, whether that transferee may have some sort of an ongoing business relationship with the original debtors. As the case law of this circuit makes clear, this Illinois law tries to distinguish between someone that's acting in innocent good faith, like a car dealer that maybe was going to sell a company car to SevenQuest that knows absolutely nothing about these claims, and a situation like we have here. The brother-in-law of the judgment debtor who's been in business with them is well aware of all these troubles, knows about them so much that he's altering their oral discussions and said, I just want the good parts. Keep me away from the liabilities.
But, of course, the district judge does make fine. I'm looking at his opinion on page 7. He finds that Fournier gets the business as sort of delayed compensation for building it over under this alleged oral agreement. Mm-hmm. That's why he was doing all this. He denies funneling any portion of the HSN payments he'd received to Schneider. Judge believes all of that.
Right. And none of those things have to do with, did he know there were some legal problems? That's the core issue on the good faith transfer issue. Now, that might have some relevance to the value issue, and we've got some issues with that. But I really think the clearest error here has to do with the judge ignoring, and in fact, his findings. He finds Mr. Fournier knew of these problems, and the reason he wanted to set up this company is he wanted to avoid those, I think he called them, substantial legal problems. And then he turned to Mr. Fournier during the hearing, and he said, right, and Mr. Fournier said, right. By ignoring those facts, that's really the core legal error here, because the legal standard for good faith is so clear. It's that what a reasonable person would have known in Mr. Fournier's shoes as the owner of Anuco. On the value issue, I think he did find, well, you know, they worked. Again, though, the deal, keep in mind, was to get the keys to SevenQuest. SevenQuest had some good news. It was making money on these products, but it had that bad news as well. So
that's where he got paid the $40,000 a year for his
right.
Under
the written agreement. He was for a part-time job, and you know, that's why I say it's a purported oral agreement, and this whole thing is something we reject.
It's not the strongest integration clause I've ever seen. I mean,
if you even include the oral agreement, though, it was to turn over SevenQuest. So if the district court was saying, well, these extra services were worth something because of that oral agreement. The oral agreement wasn't to get just the cash coming in. The oral agreement was to get SevenQuest with the baggage as well. If it was worth $382,000, it had been the fraudulent recipient of this asset, and it would have owed every penny to 4 years only anyway.
So your position basically is you don't get to take you don't get to create a wall between yourself and SevenQuest once you know that the problem is there.
Absolutely. In Illinois, the statute's very clear. This court's interpretations of that statute are very clear on that issue. I'll just touch a little bit on HSN. And again, like I said, I don't think their intent and knowledge is really relevant. They're just holding an asset. They could have deposited it and eliminated the issues. It's really not an issue of are they a good actor or a bad actor here. But as we talked about right at the beginning of my argument, they were on notice of the situation. They'd been working with Mr. Schneider for years with this business. And then they get this letter from him, a very short letter in January of 07, saying, I'm going to move this business to a new co effective immediately. That's the wording in the letter. By the way, I've been living out of the country for 3 years. Yours truly, Mark Schneider.
Well, that's living out of the country. I mean, I realize we have our theories about why Mr. Schneider may have moved to Costa Rica, but in and of itself, living out of the country isn't such a
no, but HSN's vendors, I mean, these are the big guys negotiating with the little guys. They don't just say, well, you know, anytime you want to change the deal, you can. I mean, you have vendor agreements. They're supposed to be vetted. Eventually, Inuco did do that, but this was an unusual type of transaction for HSN. At least was one red flag. You don't have to stop there, though, because before they sent out that money, they got the petition that says, here, let's connect all the dots for you.
If you're successful here, there's still work for the district court to do, isn't there? If this is remanded, doesn't the district court have to make certain findings before you're entitled to that money?
You know, HSN, I guess, indicates that in their brief, but I'm not sure what's left. I mean, the only reason the judge didn't give us the relief is because he said the second transfer is not voidable. There's nothing in HSN's brief that I could see that explains why, if that's reversed and it is voidable, why we don't get the money. I guess perhaps they'll explain that, and I'll try to rebut that in my response. But there's no reason why this court simply can't reverse on the undisputed facts of record right now.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McDonald. Mr. Bluen?
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Dan Bluen. I represent the intervening Appley Home Shopping Network. Quickly, by way of background, my client is a retailer that sells a variety of products through its television shows and the Internet. HSN was not a defendant in the underlying litigation.
No, they're just somebody who has an asset, so that's why they come in with the citation to discover assets. I don't understand why you didn't just pay the bills into the court escrow. That's a well-established way of preventing putting yourself in the kind of situation you're in right now where you paid over the proceeds to a Inuco, but now somebody else has come along who says, well, you should have paid it to me, and presumably you don't care who you pay it to. You want to satisfy the debt. But you approach this having already gotten that citation in a very odd way.
Your Honor, there's actually two reasons why we did what we did. First of all, with all due respect to opposing counsel, I believe he misstated in that the citation did not list Inuco and Synergy or SevenQuest. The citation that was served on my client on April 20th, 2007, specifically identified the judgment debtors as an individual by the name of Mark Schneider and an entity by the name of Product Concept Company, I think it
right,
is.
Right, and PCC. Then it said in all successors and assigns or something to that effect.
There's language to that effect, yes. But
which
again,
is where you bring in SevenQuest and Inuco. I mean, you must have figured out before too long that Inuco was in there.
Well, they have, Your Honor, it comes back to they have a theory. The judgment debtors are too specifically
named. No, I mean, you figured it out. You made a payment to Inuco.
Yes, we did. And the reason we made the payment to the Inuco is, as counsel pointed out, in January of 2007, we had a contract with Inuco. Pursuant to that contract...
But Mr. Schneider was the one who told you about that contract. I mean, you were on a lot of notice that you were in a risky position to pay those dollars over to Inuco as opposed to into the court to sort out who was really entitled to them.
Your Honor, again, there's a couple of things. First of all, the citation we received only listed Mr. Schneider and PCC. As of the receipt of that citation, The record evidence is absolutely clear. We made absolutely no payments to Mr. Schneider. We made no payments to PCC. The record is equally clear. There was absolutely no business relationship with either Mr. Schneider or Mr. Schneider or PCC.
Did you know that Inuco was a successor?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Did you know that Inuco was a successor to Schneider's various enterprises?
We knew that as of January, I don't remember the exact date,
when
but January
Schneider
2007.
When Mr. Schneider wrote you the letter.
Yes, we received a letter
so
in January of 2007 that the contract was going to be between Inuco and Home Shopping Network. It was pursuant to that agreement and subsequent documentation. There's standard master terms and agreement, et cetera. So there's additional documentation that's
but
out there.
But they're going after payments you made after that time.
Correct, because, again, the
so
payments...
So you already knew, in other words.
We knew that we had a contract with Inuco as
and
of that
you knew
date.
About, to answer Judge Posner's question, you knew there was the relationship between Schneider, PCC, and Inuco.
We knew, Your Honor, that there was a historical relationship. But we were told, and I think this is critically important, we were told that as of January 2007, there was no longer a relationship. I'm sorry?
Told by whom? Who told you that?
That's what the letter. The letter
Mr.
said.
Mr. Schneider told you that.
Yes, the letter. That's exactly right. The letter said.
But you knew that the plaintiff was pursuing Schneider. And then he writes you the letter saying Inuco is clean. Is that how it works?
And there's no record evidence
Is that the sequence?
No, Your Honor. The sequence is there was a historical relationship
between... No, wait a minute. Let me put together what you said, because you said when you got the citation to discover assets, it mentions Mr. Schneider's name. It also happens to mention PCC. Then you get the letter from Mr. Schneider saying, send these payments to Inuco, effective immediately. And then you send a payment to Inuco. So since the citation to discover assets covers successors and assigns, I don't see why that isn't noticed to you.
Your Honor, if I might, I believe you have the timing backwards. The letter from Mr. Schneider came in January. So as of January of 2007, the contract was between Inuco and Home Shopping Network. Subsequently, we received the citation in April of 2007.
Why does that help you?
Because when we received the citation in April of 2007, our relationship is with Inuco.
No, and then
we
you
do
find
not
out that Inuco is a successor of, you know at that time, because Mr. Schneider's told you that they're a successor. You found out in January, you get the citation, you say, we need to pay attention not only to things we might have to pay to Mr. Schneider, but also to successors.
Actually, Your Honor, I would disagree with the characterization that we believed Inuco was a successor. As of January...
Well, what else could it have been if Schneider tells you, don't send me anything anymore, it's now Inuco's?
It was a brand new relationship between HSN and Inuco. The monies that are at issue here, I think this is an important fact. The monies that are at issue here all involve product that was sourced by Inuco, not anything that was done previously by Mr. Schneider or any other entity in prior years. So as of, and again, the timing is important, because as of January, we have a new relationship with Inuco. Pursuant to that relationship.
So your deal with Schneider became your deal with Inuco at Schneider's direction.
I thought they were using exactly the same vendor numbers and the same product numbers and all sorts of same things.
From a documentation standpoint, there was the same vendor number. Yes, I will concede.
Yeah, so, that should have been a clue, don't you think?
Well, again, we were not making any payments. Once we received the citation, we were not making any payments whatsoever to Mr. Schneider or PCC, and our understanding was all monies that we were paying, in fact, were going directly to a new company.
Well, let me see. I make sure I'm not lost. Get the sequence correctly. First, Schneider tells you to deal with Inuco, and then you get the citation. Is later?
That's essentially correct, Your Honor. Yes.
And then you pay Inuco.
Correct.
Well, the as Judge Wood and Judge Tinder were pointing out, when you get a citation that mentions Schneider and his successors, wouldn't it be natural to suppose, thinking back to the letter you got from Schneider, that Inuco must be a successor Because otherwise, why would Schneider have directed you to do business with him?
I believe the answer to your question, Your Honor, is in theory, that was a possible translation, I guess, if you will. But, again, from our perspective, we knew we weren't doing business with Mr. Schneider when we got the citation.
No. The point is, when you got the citation and you saw the word successor or sign, you would think back that, well, if Schneider had told you you were now doing business with Inuco, then that made it sound as if Inuco was Schneider's assignee.
From our perspective, Your Honor, what it sounded as if, to give the opposing counsel the benefit of the doubt, they had a theory. They had a theory that, in fact, this was the case, that the money was being funneled from Inuco somehow back to Mr. Schneider. And, in fact, in their petition that was filed the same day that the citation was served on us, they said, I think it was at page 10, they seek the limited relief of recovery of assets specifically traceable to PCC or Schneider. Well, the district court determined after a day-long evidentiary hearing that those monies, in fact, were not traceable back to PCC or Schneider, the judgment
according
debtors.
According to your opponents, that's because he applied the wrong legal test. He was looking for a more direct evidence of fraud at the Inuco level, and he should have been looking for something less.
I do understand my opponent's position, and I think it's rebutted by the express language of the court's order. At least twice, I believe, maybe even three times in the court's written order, he specifically acknowledges the applicable test.
He cites them, but then he goes on and just finds, because Mr. Fournier seems to be a nice guy who wanted to have his own business without the clutter of Mr. Schneider's problems, that's enough, but that may not be enough.
Well, actually, Your Honor, first of all, with respect to that exact point, again, I need to disagree with my opponent's characterization of the record. In the hearing that, again, was a day-long hearing that took place in the district court, the court actually asked some of his own questions. And at one point, I believe it's at supplemental appendix page 10, which is page 70 of the transcript, there's questions about, well, and these were questions of Mr. Fournier, the brother-in-law, said, in essence, well, when you got this letter, you did it because you wanted out from Mr. Schneider's legal troubles, right? And I'm paraphrasing that part. His answer was, and then the question goes on, and that is what you asked him to do to help get away from the problems that you had with the business, right? Answer, no, sir, no. Goes on to say, did you ask him? Well, then, the next
page.
Well,
this is when he refers to the alleged oral agreement. Right? This was per our verbal agreement after a three-year period of time.
No, Your Honor, if you go back several lines on that page, it refers to the January 2007 letter that you've been asking about this morning. So the point is, contrary to the representations, the testimony was very clear before the district court. Mr. Fournier...
I don't understand. What about Fournier's testimony? He's asked... But it was your purpose in forming Inuco to attempt to try to isolate yourself from Mr. Schneider's legal issues, right? And he said, yes, sir, part of the reason anyway.
He did say that, Your Honor, and then he went on to explain there was this long-standing arrangement with Mr. Schneider, pursuant to which Mr. Fournier would basically run this business for several years. And there was an agreement that after 3 years...
Sure, that's fine. He'd get the business, but he'd get the liabilities along with the assets. That's your problem, right? He wanted to have the assets without the liabilities.
But again, Your Honor, with respect to the liabilities, if you will...
all this legal trouble, obviously.
But again, I think there's an important distinction, if I might. The monies that are at issue right now, the only thing at issue is the $380-some-thousand that HSN paid to Inuco. Those monies related to products that were serviced or sold post these transactions. So opponent, understandably, is trying to collect on their judgment. But they're trying to reach forward and say, wait a minute, there were monies that took place for sales in the future
that
somehow
were
revert
back. If they were assets of the company that was the judgment debtor, it doesn't really matter that they were generated from later sales.
But we would disagree with the characterization that they were assets of the company because, again, of the company being the judgment debtor in this instance. So from our perspective, if I might, just to summarize a couple of these points. There was a day-long evidentiary hearing. The applicable standard was whether Inuco was looking for the exact language. I'm drawing a blank on the exact language, but whether they took for value, good faith purchaser taking for value. That was the test that the district court applied. That was the correct test. The court heard a day-long testimony, saw evidence. There were multiple points that the court acknowledged, some of which in its written opinion, ultimately determined that, in fact, Inuco was a good faith purchaser for value. Based on that, determined that these assets in question did not belong to the judgment debtor.
Now, following up on Judge Tinder's question to Mr. McDonald, if we disagree with you and believe that Inuco is not a purchaser in good faith, what is left for the district court to do?
What is left, Your Honor, is for the district court to actually determine whether HSN somehow violated the citation. And the district court, and I'll try to find it quickly, I believe it was at page 5 of the supplemental appearance or supplemental appendix, said the only issue here is, does HSN owe money to Schneider or PCC, or did they since service of the citation? And the court goes on to say, so I'm eager to find out whether or not, in fact, Mr. Fournier and Inuco are, for our purposes, the judgment debtor, and the money that they are holding is really the money. Now, here's the operative language in response to the question. The court goes on to say, and then, if it turns out that is the case, or that I conclude it is the case, then we have the additional exciting step of determining whether or not Home Shopping Network violated the citation by paying the money out. Court acknowledges right at the outset of the hearing it wasn't going to get to that unless it made the determination that the assets in fact belonged to the judgment debtors.
Well, if it paid to a successor, why wouldn't that be a violation of the citation?
Because, again, I think there would be an issue as to whether or not HSN willfully violated the citation. Real quick, there's one other point I would like to make here. The same day that opposing counsel served the citation to discover assets, they simultaneously filed a petition for restraining order asking that HSN not provide any money to Inuco. Now, we would submit that if, as counsel would have you believe, the citation in and of itself was self-effectuating, that once we got that, we couldn't give any money to Inuco, there would have been absolutely no reason for them to file a simultaneous motion essentially for preliminary injunction or temporary restraining order.
Multiple remedies. That's all right. Okay, thank you, Mr. Bluen. So, Mr. McDonald, how much time does he have? A few minutes?
I think you know where I stand on the issues. I want to give you a few sites just to hopefully make your life a little easier. That petition was filed April 20 along with the citation. That petition is the document at paragraph 8, served on HSN through its corporate counsel, that specifically cites, that we've got information. This is paragraph 8 of the petition. SevenQuest ceased doing business, and SevenQuest assigned all of its rights to the anti-tarnish jewelry boxes to Inuco. The change was simply a change in name only. That's paragraph 8. And then we go on to specifically include in paragraph 14, Inuco is the one who, when you're paying them the money, that's the money we're trying to stop. So
before the payments you're complaining
absolutely
about took place.
The same time they got the first citation. So that's they indicated that we misspoke. We did not misspoke. They knew about Inuco. They knew that we were saying their money is Schneider's money. It's our money. With respect to the record of the district court, I'll just point to Supplemental Appendix 21, where the judge, when he gave his oral decision announcing that he was going to deny our motion, he said, I do not believe there's a legal connection between the judgment debtor and Inuco, and therefore, I don't think that HSN was improper in paying the funds out to Inuco. That tells you two things. One, he was ignoring the real issue here of good faith. He was stuck on this business relationship issue. Two is, that's why he didn't give him the money. That was the only issue here on appeal. That should open the door here. Under the Illinois statute, it's clear that if you pay out the money, the court should enter a judgment saying, give the rightful owner, the judgment creditor, a judgment in the amount owed, that HSN owed, or the amount of the judgment, whichever is less. That's what that Illinois statute cites.
Okay.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. McDonough, Ms. Rune. And also thank you for a very good oral argument, both of you.